Good morning, Midland First. My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor here, and on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship, whether you're here in our sanctuary or if you're joining us on live on our live stream on YouTube, perhaps you're listening on the radio on Sunday morning, or worshiping with us on Midland Cable Television, we're grateful that you're here and for this opportunity to worship together and to encounter our living God with one another. As we begin our time, I do want to highlight a few opportunities we have here at the church to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. You know, it's always good for a church to make sure that our youngest are a part of our life together. Yes, their feet might patter a little bit louder than ours and move along a bit faster than ours, but it's important that we include them in our life together today, not just in the future, but today. And so to that end, we're excited to include our children and youth in worship. At our 9 a.m. traditional service, now that we've moved to our two services at 9 and 11, at our 9 a.m. service, we're going to invite children from kindergarten to fifth grade to help lead worship. Each Sunday, there will be opportunity for a child to ring the bell at the end of our greeting time to gather us back together. Parents, you can sign your children up by going to the link that we've set up on Sign Up Genius to sign up each Sunday, or you can contact the church office. The link for this sign up is located in our e-blast. So if you're receiving our e-blast email weekly, you'll find the link there. Also, we've posted it on the bulletin board outside of our children's area near P3 and P4. If you're older than fifth grade and you want to ring the bell, I'm sorry. We got bigger bells for you to ring. But we are excited to reintroduce this, and have our children help lead us in worship. Also, I want to hand things off right now to Hillary Ferguson, who serves as our children's and youth director, for a few announcements. Hillary?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor.
Yes.
I'm going to publicly confess that I made a mistake. And this is another Natalie. We are blessed with many Natalies. Mm. Hopefully they'll both ring the bell.
Yes.
I want to offer many, many, many thanks for kickoff last week. If you prayed for the event, attended, helped, enjoyed, can't wait for next year, thank you. Youth, I'll see you at 10:15. You all probably have sensed that Ministry Fair is coming up in October, and we'd like everyone to take a spiritual gifts survey before you attend that event. That will make your experience hopefully more meaningful. These were available at kickoff. It seems that in all the activity, they might have gotten lost. And so they are now at all three entrances to the church. Feel free to pick up a flyer. It'll make it easy with the QR code. And finally, this week is prayer week. The Open Door has invited us to join them at noon all week, September 16th through the 20th. Gather at their fire pit to pray for guests, staff, and the community. And there is also a flyer to help you remember that at all three entrances. Let's be good neighbors in our prayers.
Thank you, Hillary, for sharing those opportunities, and certainly encourage us to find ourselves in those ministries if we feel God calling us to either the prayer ministry with Open Door this week or the spiritual gifts. Encourage everyone to fill that out. It helps us to connect as a congregation and to use the many gifts that we have. So with all this, Natalie Gibbon will be gathering us back together as our bell ringer to this morning after our time of greeting. So let us stand and greet one another this morning. Actually, please be seated. Evidently, as we step into the fall, there are new rhythms for me to learn and become accustomed to. Now, at this time, I invite you to stand and join us for our opening hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." It's on page 57 of our hymnal, or on the screen in front of us. We will be singing verses 1, 3, 5, and 7.
Thank you.
Please remain standing and join me in our call to worship. What must we do to inherit eternal life?
We shall love the Lord our God
with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our strength and with all our mind. Then to love our neighbors as ourselves. As the prophet Micah says, what the Lord requires of us is this: to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. May we do these things with His help and through His grace.
I invite the children to come forward, please. Good job. Good leadership, Bryce. No, they can stand up. Morning, everybody. So glad to see you. What a happy day. Okay. Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. The great green growing days continue. We grow in Jesus. We grow in our faith. When Jesus was on earth, he helped his disciples grow in their faith. That was all part of God's plan for Jesus. And then one day, he asked the disciples, "Who am I?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." God had a plan for Peter too. Do you think God has a plan for you too? Let us pray. Dear Jesus, life can be scary. You are the Messiah we need. You walk with us always. Thank you for obeying God's plan for your life. Help each of us love and obey the plan you have for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carillon Choir. That continue to be our prayer and our calling. As we continue in worship, we take time to share in the giving of our tithes and offerings. If you've been on the church's Facebook page this week, you've seen the offering of our mission team, a mission team that gathered together to head up to the Upper Peninsula to serve through God's Country Cooperative Ministries. And if you haven't, encourage you to go there, take a look at the offerings that have been provided. There we go. By our members to do ministry in the Upper Peninsula. So we're certainly thankful for the work that they have done, but also God's providing of safe travel and meaningful time for this team. As we share in the time of our offerings this morning, invite you to fill out the friendship pads that you will find in your pews. This helps us to stay connected as a congregation. If you're with us online today on YouTube, invite you to place a wave hello or comment in the comment section to let us know that you are here also with us. If you're a guest of our congregation and this is among your first times here, simply invite you to sit back and to consider the blessings that God is pouring into your lives. And to the members and friends of this church, thank you for your ongoing support of God's work together here in the church, in our community, stretching up to the Upper Peninsula and beyond. So let us continue to delight in all that we offer to God this morning and the week to come. Will the ushers please come forward? Almighty God, indeed we give thanks, for you are good and continue to pour your blessings and your grace upon us. We pray for your blessings upon these gifts that we lift to you this morning, upon our worship, upon our offerings throughout this week, Lord, that more and more we continue to live into our mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you to open your Bibles or to your Bible app on your phone or tablet to our scripture reading for today. Our scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. If you wish to read along in the Pew Bible, you'll find this on page 67 of the New Testament. Today I am reading from the New Living Translation. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he is attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I am here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who's attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes. Now go and do the same." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Being the father of a now 10-year-old son, I find myself encountering what I can only assume is a rite of passage for most fathers. That is, I find myself saying to my son the very same things my father said to me. Things like, "Remember, tomorrow is trash day," or "Anything worth doing is worth doing right," or "Make sure you always love your mama." And he said mother, but Andrew calls Cara mama, so mama. And when I find myself saying these very things, my dad said to me, and presumably thinking the very things my dad thought, I have an almost visceral response. It hits me right here. For one thing, these instances make it clear to me that my father knew a lot more than I ever gave him credit for back then. A little bit of a dagger to my heart and to my ego. Hopefully, I've confessed this enough times to my father and I've made up for all the heartaches and headaches I've caused along the way. But once I get past my pride and my ego, I now cherish these instances where I'm repeating the very things my father said to me because they produce within me an enduring sense of connection, a connection to my father, a connection something beyond the three generations my father, myself, and I represent, a connection to a truth greater than any one of us, or the sum total of us all. For me, and perhaps for you too, I encounter a similar response whenever I come across something in the Bible that is still so applicable today. Because in my mind, in my spirit, I can't fathom how words that were inspired and recorded nearly 2,000 years ago, well, I can't fathom how they speak so relevantly to us today. And in this, perhaps there's that visceral response wherein there's a profound sense of connection, a profound sense of connection with our Creator, a profound sense of connection within our shared human experience, a profound sense of connection with a greater truth. Thinking of our world today and the times that we are living in, I wonder if all this comes up when we hear the expert in religious law or the lawyer as translated in the New Revised Standard Version. I wonder if all this comes up when he asks Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Having asked Jesus, or more so having tested Jesus by asking him, "What should I do to inherit eternal life?" the expert in religious law finds himself on the receiving end of his own questioning. For Jesus asks the expert, "You tell me, what does the law of Moses say concerning what is required for eternal life?" In his response, the expert reduces the 613 commandments compiled by the rabbis, 365 which are thou shall nots, 240 that are thou shalls, down to two. Two commandments. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. We heard this morning, having summarized all the laws of Moses down to these foundational commandments, which we find in the Old Testament, which we find in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, Jesus affirms the expert. He says, "Yes, right. Do this, love your God, love your neighbor as yourself, and you will live." Wanting to justify what he was already doing, the expert in religious law asks the all-important and still poignant question for today: "And who is my neighbor?" Who is my neighbor? Who am I being called to love? Far from a parable or a story that we ought to restrain to simply reenacting at vacation Bible school or telling on a felt board in Sunday school. Do we still use felt boards? I'm not sure. But this is worth us wrestling with today. The parable of the Good Samaritan. After all, whether it's the generalized anxiety of our times, the divisive tone within our nation, within our political discourse, or even within churches today, or whether it's simply the more secluded and disconnected we are from one another, the parable of the Good Samaritan today begs us to consider, who's my neighbor? Who do I need to be open to connecting with? Of course, the most merciful response of the Samaritan to the beaten Jewish traveler on the road down to Jericho causes the greatest amount of pause on our part. After all, we'd expect the priest, we'd expect the temple assistant, in other words, the Levite, to be the ones to render aid to their fellow Jew. Not only were they all of the same race and religion, the priest and the temple assistant were also religious professionals. So if anyone in this scenario that Jesus presents is going to be a good neighbor, we would assume it would be the priest or the assistant. But instead, in answering our question of who is our neighbor, it's the Samaritan. It's the Samaritan whose heart demonstrates a neighborly love. It's the Samaritan whose actions reveal the essence of God's law. It is a Samaritan whose extravagance embodies what it means to be a good neighbor. After all, it's the Samaritan who not only had compassion, whose heart was not only open when he saw the beaten traveler on the road, but it's also the Samaritan who cared for his wounds. It's also the Samaritan who placed him on his donkey and cared for him at the inn. And it's also the Samaritan who ensured that the beaten traveler would have several more days to recover and even more if needed. Coming up in a week, we have the opportunity to lean into this idea of asking ourselves as Christ followers, who is our neighbor? September 22nd through 28th, the Midland Area Cultural Awareness Coalition is inviting all of Midland County to celebrate Neighboring Week. We're fortunate this morning to have Michelle Barr with us to tell us more about it. Michelle is a member of our congregation and is serving as co-chair of this year's Neighboring Week. Would you please join me in welcoming Michelle? Thank you, Michelle. If I was on my game, I'd have my red Mr. Rogers neighborhood on top of my robe.
I don't usually dress this way for church.
I'm glad that you would. Well, we've been blessed to know one another for some time now, but in case others are not familiar with you and your family, How long have you and Brad been members of Midland First, and how did you first get connected with the church?
So we were married at First United Methodist Church in Peoria, Illinois in 1984. I'll let you do the math. Brad's grandparents and parents were members of First United Methodist Church in Peoria. So it was just a natural fit when we moved here to join this church. We immediately became involved as volunteers, even before we had kids, and certainly when we had Kirsten and Shannon, we became much more involved. We were so excited about the church's programming for youth, and we got heavily involved. Brad was involved with the youth group. I taught Sunday school for about, 15 years. And I look out at this congregation, many of our friends are from this church and remain our friends to this day. So it's been a great experience.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing a little bit of your story and connection with our church. Mm-hmm. So could you help us understand what is Neighboring Week and how did you first get involved with leading up this effort in our communities?
Yeah, well, Neighboring Week actually started with the churches, and J.D. Landis and Wally Maton and other pastors were heavily involved. So the very first ask were for churches to be involved in neighboring. Mayor Donker was very active in getting it community-wide, but it really truly started with the churches. I first became involved myself with Neighboring Week when I was working at the Midland County ESA, and I was asked to join the Cultural Awareness Council, and I was originally asked because of my job and also my personal experience with Kirsten having a disability to represent parents of children and others with disabilities on that council. Neighboring Week kind of took off that first year. And they developed a subcommittee at the foundation, and I became a part of that. And initially, my involvement was totally through the schools. My job was to connect all of the local schools, Meridian, Bullet Creek, Coleman, Midland Public, in becoming more involved in Neighboring Week. We thought it would be a great idea to start with young children all the way up through school to learn how to be a good neighbor. For the past 5 years, I've been co-chairing the Neighboring Week committee, and it's been a joy.
Fantastic. So a grassroots efforts here in our churches to plant seeds of being a community or getting connected as neighbors, yes?
No, absolutely, and it's very much caught on. This year, the Midland Community Foundation tried something new, and they offered 30 mini grants for $100 each for anybody that wanted to do something for neighboring. Mm-hmm. And there were some skeptics that people said, I thought this was kind of funny. Well, $100 might not be enough. I'm like, give me $100. I could find something to do with $100 for Neighboring Week. And they were so popular, they went instantaneously. And the Wellbeing Coalition in Midland actually did a match so that anybody that applied up to the due date was able to receive that $100 to do whatever they wanted to do. The ideas were great. Donut stands, free ice cream. There are all kinds of great ideas, which if you go to the website, you can see some of those ideas.
Fantastic. And I understand that you and Brad participate in Neighboring Week in your own neighborhood. Could you share a little bit more about how that takes place?
We do. Brad might say it involves moving a lot of tables, but we started small about 3 years ago, and we now are up to about 150 people in our neighborhood. There are about 5 courts that participate. We're pretty fancy. We have a website and a sign-up sheet, and we change it up a little every year. We have a Google Drive. People sign up for paper goods, monetary donations. And where we've evolved is making that not just a party for our neighborhood, but we've started a canned food drive, and we take the leftover food from our party and all of the canned good drives to Open Door afterwards. So we've just wanted to add a little bit of a charity piece and a giving back to others to our own party.
Okay, so block party during Neighboring Week. I don't know if some of you might be looking up Brad and Michelle's address. I might be doing so.
You are welcome. We might be in Chicago waiting for our new grandbaby, but you are more than welcome.
There you go.
5308 Stone Ridge Drive.
There you go. Well, I understand you've been doing this for a number of years now within your own neighborhood. Could you share with us some of the blessings that have come by being good neighbors and just taking some steps with Neighboring Week?
Absolutely. There's just so many blessings. I think as we get older, we just so enjoy the neighbors. I remember in our first house watching the older neighbors watch our kids play, and now we're the older neighbors watching everyone's kids play. But we know all of our neighbors by name. We help each other out. It's childcare, walking dogs, bringing garbage cans in, taking food to people who are ill. We're just in general loving, caring, and we know really all of our neighbors. We just had a brand new set of neighbors move in about a week ago, and I took pumpkin bread down to them, and this was not planned at all. We're standing in the driveway talking to them, and three other sets of neighbors showed up with treats. One of the neighbors had a middle schooler and a kindergartner, same as our neighbors, and they were telling them where to get the bus, how long it takes, don't be late, about the app you can find to track the bus. So that was just kind of an organic thing that we didn't plan to all show up at the same time. So we're just very fortunate to be in the neighborhood that we're in.
So it sounds like a real life enrichment to be connected with one another.
Very much. And there's just a sense of knowing that you have a lot of people you can call if you need something. And that's for all of our neighbors.
Now, for some of us, planning a block party is a little bit intimidating. For other of us, that's a source of excitement. But for somebody who's just looking to dabble their toe into Neighboring Week, what would you suggest for someone to take as a first step in being a good neighbor?
So this does not have to be a party, and I don't want the emphasis to be on a party. Being a good neighbor doesn't have to be fancy. It can be learning your neighbor's names. It can be just saying hello when you go out to get your mail. It can be knowing your mailman's name, right? Just smile. Learn names. We have some postcards and some things we're going to hand out later that will help you with some of these ideas. But there's just such a comfort in knowing your neighbors, because at some point in time, all of us are going to need something from each other. So we have just found that to be a tremendous blessing. I also looked a little bit up on the research of being a good neighbor, or being a neighbor, and it indicates that people who give and know their neighbors are consistently experiencing less depression, greater calm, fewer pains, and better health, which is something I think we all strive for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know here at the church we've gathered together some popping in bags that we'll have available next week for the start of Neighboring Week, wherein you'll take a bag home and just drop it off at a neighbor. Introduce yourself, perhaps someone you've been wanting to meet, and as Michelle mentioned, we'll have cards available with tips on how to be a good neighbor. Michelle, last question for you this morning. How does your faith play into your support and participation in Neighboring Week?
You know, I think faith is what this is all about. You know, a little help from the internet. I'm always nervous about this in front of a pastor, but I found that the word neighbor appeared in the King James Bible 155 times. So you can fact check that for me if you want, but that's a lot, right? Yeah. It's just the commandment as you preach today, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And that's just what life should be about.
Absolutely. So being connected, being a neighbor is rooted in our love for God and the commandments that God has given us. Can we thank Michelle for her time with us this morning?
Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. Now, looking back at the parable of the Good Samaritan, even through today's lens, the part that stands out most is that it's the Samaritan who was a neighbor to the fallen traveler. And it stands out to us because in the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John, each of these Gospels make note of the deep division, the deep distrust, indeed, perhaps even the deep hatred. Between these two peoples. So our assumption is that in sharing so much common ground, including their faith, with a priest and a temple assistant, that the fallen traveler would have found a neighbor in them. But in the end, it's the Good Samaritan for whom Jesus commends the expert in religious law to now and go and do the same. So as Michelle and the coalition has encouraged us, may we be open to those who are our neighbors. And perhaps our neighbors are lifelong friends. Perhaps they've been next door for a lifetime, and they're people we welcome into our lives. Or at least they are people we are comfortable with. But perhaps our neighbors are also those whose campaign signs don't match ours. Perhaps our neighbors are those who have a child on the honor list, and we have a dog who graduated from obedience class on our bumper sticker, right? Celebrate different things on our bumper stickers. Perhaps our neighbors are those whose front lawns or flower beds look very different than ours. Perhaps our neighbors are those we would otherwise never cross paths with. Otherwise not stop by. Otherwise not say hello. Were it not for the love of Jesus Christ. This week and next, during Neighboring Week, may our lives be a response to the age-old question, and who is my neighbor? Amen. Amen. Friends, as we gather together in prayer this day, we're celebrating the birth of Jeremiah Lott. Jeremiah was born this past Friday. And Jeremiah's proud parents are Rachel and Brendan Lott, and his excited older sister is Gracelyn. And so we pray God's blessings upon the Lott family in welcoming Jeremiah into their lives. Let us pray. Almighty God, your grace and your wanting what is best in our lives, for this life and the life to come, all this is timeless. It is preserved in your word. And we are reminded of all that Jesus said and taught through the Holy Spirit. And Lord, in our world today, whether it's in watching news halfway across the globe, whether it is watching the news that is reporting on our nation, whether it is people who live next door, or those we cross in our community. In one fashion or another, we are being asked, and we ask ourselves, who is my neighbor? Who, as a follower of Jesus Christ, am I called to be kind to? Am I called to be compassionate to? Am I called to be open to? And sometimes, oh Lord, we are ecstatic to run to our neighbors, for indeed they bring to us a sense of connection that speaks into our lives. It might be a simple wave, hello. It might be a knowing we have someone to turn to when we'll be away and the garbage can needs to be brought up back to the house. But Lord, sometimes your love calls us to be a neighbor with those and to those who might make us uncomfortable, who might see and believe things differently than us, whose walk in life is very different than ours, for whom we otherwise would feel no sense of connection or responsibility. Help us to follow Jesus' story here. Help us as a church to lean into these two commandments that you have given us. We pray all this, Lord, as you continue this great work among our church, in our community, and across the globe, to be good neighbors. All this we pray, as we pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. At this point in time, I invite us to stand as we are able and to turn to page 399 in our hymnal. Let us sing together, Take My Life and Let It Be. And so I have to confess that this morning's sermon theme, message of being a good neighbor, stretches me as a bit of an introvert and one who is sometimes prone to moments of spontaneous awkwardness. It can be a challenge sometimes just waving hello. It could be a challenge saying hello to somebody I'm crossing on the sidewalk. It can even be a challenge as a religious professional to know what my response needs to be as I come across the individual at Eastman near Meyer who is asking for help. But friends, these are the sorts of neighbors we are called to be. And God gives us the grace to do so. So now let us go and do the same. Amen. Amen.